Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 29. The Reverend Mark Rabe is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis chapter 27. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt for game. And prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me, so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare it for me, delicious food, that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord, before I die. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats, so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go, bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See the smell of my son as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's quite appropriate at this point in Lent that we hear the narrative about Esau and Jacob. Lent, the penitential season of preparation for Easter, by self-denial, prayer, and fasting. And while perhaps Christians are often bothered by the deception that we just heard in our lesson today, the deception by Rebekah of her husband, Jacob, his son, it's understandable. But we also might bear in mind that Scripture is telling us what happened. We see how messy people's lives are. We see the sin of humanity. The cunning of the mother and the deception of the son are not being held up for us to emulate. But then, neither is Esau. Esau, one who appears in history a bit early to warrant the term, but we might consider him what we would think of nowadays as a modern man. He is the one who's already rejected the blessing, and now we see it unfold, the rejection. But we can call Esau a modern man, one that is large and in a defining sense. Esau, for instance, for the sole purpose of gratifying, has done this previously, gratifying an immediate impulse, has thoughtlessly already betrayed that inherited treasure. The New Testament speaks of Esau this way, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Esau is a profane person who, for one morsel of food, sold his birthright. So we might look, for instance, at a few ways in which Esau's like a modern man. You know, our text is focusing on Jacob, but we're kind of doing a little bit of backstory here, so to speak, to understand what Esau is like. His underlying weakness, for example, was a lack of self-control. He's a rugged outdoorsman. That's why in the text he is out to go get game, and his father sends him off so that he can get this game that his father enjoys. He's a rugged outdoorsman. Perhaps he thought of himself as a man of tough discipline because he was an outdoorsman. But actually, the opposite is true. He's unable to control his appetite even long enough for a meal to be prepared for him. Esau's like a nursing infant. He insisted on being fed right now. As those cries go out from a nursing infant, I need to be fed now. And that's how Esau acts. Scripture recounts way back in a few chapters back in chapter 25. And when Esau comes to Jacob after being in the field, he says, let me eat of some of that red stew, for I'm about to die. What then, what good is my birthright to me? He's already cast it aside. And we see in our text today that playing out. Undisciplined Esau gave up his inheritance for a slight but instant gratification. And this is the first and radical reason we might call him a modern man. He's also a modern man in the second way, in that he had no real sense of the real worth of things. Not just value, but the real worth of things. He had cheaply sold something material, and he assumed that he could just as cheaply purchase something spiritual. He was really embracing the principle that man does live by bread alone. And he nevertheless figures that that blessing was still available to him. Hence, as we'll see next week, as he weeps and cries because he didn't get the blessing. He lost his birthright for a bowl of soup, and now he plans to gain the blessing with a plate of venison. And then there's a third display of his being like a modern man. He's slow to learn that the future is very much tied to the past. It's a very hard lesson in our American culture, because in American culture, tradition is seen as a four-letter word. History is quickly set aside or swept aside or forgotten about or rewritten, surviving as we do on short-term memory. The now, the new, the novel is held to have the greatest value. But some blessings, and among them the very best, are inseparable from birthrights. So this reckless squandering of the one renders unlikely the acquisition of the other. And those who condemn the past have little chance for a future. So we can, in a sense, grieve for Esau. Poor Esau. The New Testament describes this plight in Hebrews 12. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. A person, as we talk about personhood, is defined by our relationships to others. But it also is connected to the past. Where do we get our name? We don't come up with our own name, although you see that trend in America. But who gives us our name? We receive that name from those who came before us. So our personhood, our name, but also our community, our culture, our tradition, create, in a sense, who we are as persons. Someone else, someone older, tells us who we are. And we're formed within that context of those who have gone before us. A person is someone who stands under the authority of that, as Ken Myers puts it, a community of binding address. Those who go before have authority over those who come after. So there's, in a sense, as we think about being a person, for Esau rejecting that personhood, though, it requires a memory of the past, of handing down ideas and practices and being committed to giving into that authority, living under that authority of those who have gone before us. But we live in America, the land of individualism. Individualism and the individual is quite different. His relations or her relations to others don't define us. The individual, on the contrary, is very much self-defined so that we can become distinct from others. And Esau shows us this. The Bible took only a few words to tell us this trait of the individualist. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. Esau is a self-made man. He doesn't derive who he is as a free and generous bequest of the past. He acquires it by becoming his own individual. He determines the past. This, dear Christian, is attention. It's the culture we live in. This is where culture and faith collide, because your identity is in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. Your life is in Christ. You have been baptized into Christ. You have put on Christ, the one who has conquered sin and death for you. Baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. So we live in this tension, a culture that wants us to define ourselves and a new identity that we live in Christ. So these different ways of describing Esau as a modern man show how he's alienated himself from what could and should have been his own, and what he could and should have been able to bestow on those who came after him. Last week's text points out that he married from another people, showing very much his rejection before the blessing. So tragically, his sin has separated himself from God, from his promises, rejecting that intergenerational inheritance from Abraham and Isaac, and has severed himself from Jacob. All those promises that are found ultimately in Christ. He's a self-made man without Christ. And so sadly, the character of Esau, in a sense, illustrates what's been called the post-cultural man, because he's rejected the culture of his followers as well. He's now identified as an isolated individual, deprived of the wealth and wisdom of a heritage, a living one. And so, like many in our day, he has separated himself. He's emancipated from the authority of the past. He's this man of his own culture, but he's deprived himself of community. He belongs to the now. Reduced, sadly, to a spiritually meager, less than human cohabitation. Poor Esau. Coming from nowhere, he lives nowhere and has nowhere to go. So now that I've brought you down, where does that bring us? Where does that leave us? And as I said earlier, while Christians have often been bothered by Rebekah's deception, as we hear it in the text, of her husband, but we should bear in mind that Scripture is telling us what has happened. That this cunning mother and deception of the son are not for us to emulate, nor should we emulate Esau. Rather, we should find our identity in where Jacob does, in spite of his being a scoundrel. Christ comes to redeem humanity, the Rebekahs, the Esaus, the Jacobs, and you and me. Your identity is found in Christ. Forgiven, adopted in baptism, claimed as Christ's own, So daily by faith you walk in and are found in Christ, who has redeemed you, a lost and condemned sinner. For in Christ you have a new identity, because you are a new creation in Christ. You have died. The season of Lent brings that to the forefront, that every day we die. But we die in hope, because our identity is found in Christ, who was raised from the dead. So you have died, and you now live in Christ, who is your life, who is your salvation, the one who is rooted in the promises of God to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, and fulfilled in Jesus. And Jesus freely bestows those blessings, that inheritance, upon you. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.